Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're talking about Fallout, Season 2, Episodes 1, 2, and 3. We're coming at this a little bit late because we've been hard on the plurbs, but now we are entering New Vegas to once again be in the post-apocalyptic, ghoul-filled wasteland and talk about whatever is happening in this show. And so far, it is great. And I'm Ryan, and that's Adam. And Adam played the games, and I didn't play the games. So he has a bit more added context just for future ref.
Yeah. This is arguably one of the best television adaptations of a game ever because they don't stick to a game story. They kind of pull just from the world and they just absolutely nail it like so hard. And I'm so glad because I was really, really nervous when they announced this show.
Also, like, is Walton Goggins the best actor working today?
He is the most diverse, definitely the most range of any actor working today. Insert Walton Goggins in the White Lotus surprised meme face.
Right. My favorite part is when he vapes. When he ghoul vapes.
I was like, what movie was that from, Ryan?
It was from this show, the one we're talking about.
He's just vaping those wasteland drugs.
When he takes it in, it's just like, oh God, yeah.
Oh, it does.
I'll die otherwise.
It is like one of those things where it looks like it hits really good.
Yeah. He's probably just doing like six smoke clouds and stuff.
Can you imagine ghoul smoke clouds? I figured that they would at least show an exhale of like some smoke, but they don't.
No, they don't. They don't even do cool smoke rings and stuff. It all goes into his bod.
No ghoulish smoke wings.
Into his deep, dark bod. So as we get into Fallout Season 2, Lucy McLean, played by Ella Purnell, who is English. Let's all remember that. And because, you know, there are many English actors who just cannot keep the accent straight, a.k.a. Holly in Stranger Things. Did a great job, but every now and again, you're like, that lady, little lady is an English lady. And but Ella Purnell doing an amazing job as Lucy McLean, and the ghoul, as we previously stated, Walton Goggins, still traveling together, still trying to find her missing father and uncover the mysteries of this wasteland. Her missing father, as we might recall, a large portion of like why this wasteland happened at all. And we enter into a world that is being built as it's like the plane is being built as we fly it kind of thing. Like,
sure.
This world is so cool. And there are so many interesting parts of it that on a pretty constant basis, it is completely separating itself from every other TV show just because it feels like they have taken a original idea from a video game and extrapolated it to the point where, like, every corner you go around, you're like, is that a fucking giant scorpion? Like, no other show is doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think I don't want to say suffers, it's a bad word, but it definitely is a product of the time that it's trying to portray. So in the Fallout video games, the whole idea is that in the 40s or 50s, what if there was no nuclear war across the world, and instead they invested that technology into bettering the normal civilian's life? So it's the lame 50s, 60s aesthetic, but with incredible technology and floating cars and, power cells and armor that can, lift a car and, you know, all, just all these different things. And
just it's a lot of car-based stuff.
It's a lot of car-based stuff. But it is one of the coolest set pieces I've ever experienced, both from the game and from the show, because they really do a great job at incorporating that 50s, 60s aesthetic with ultimate technology, robots that can do things for you, and it's just commonplace, and it feels really great, and it's just a great feeling. And it's similar to how the Fantastic Four movie kind of went about it. And that was also incredibly done. And it's just a cool aesthetic and people like it. So
yeah, except for the nukes do eventually go off though.
Well, it's not because of like how we know the life to be as it is in reality. It's a little bit different in the show and the games, but
what do you mean a little bit? It's incredibly different. This was not
nuclear war happens.
Yeah, just on like a more fun scale.
Well, yeah, nuclear war doesn't happen. They just set off a bunch of nukes.
Yeah. Just kind of just like chosen genocide for funsies. Yeah. What a weird world this is.
Pretty much, dude. And that, you know, that was one of the details we got at the beginning of this season too, is you know, what happened to some of these civilizations where they were bombed because they were trying to eradicate these, you know, people that were surviving the apocalypse.
And how dare they try to survive the apocalypse?
How dare they do that? And, you know, but one thing remains the same. Apparently, if you just go into a refrigerator, you can survive a nuclear bomb.
So. Yeah, Indy and Maximus. But if you were outside, you got to vape fat yellow clouds because you're a ghoul now.
Vape fat yellow clouds.
One of my favorite parts about the second season is the ghoul and Lucy together. It's very Arya and the Hound from Game of Thrones. But I just really like how it is not like that in this way, though, which is that Lucy is she is getting like sanded down over time, but she is starting from the place of having hope in humanity and believing situations can go well by talking them out and they don't require violence, and just coming from a very optimistic place about the human race as it stands, while the ghoul who has lived a very long, tortured life in this barren wasteland has a very full understanding of his surroundings and is acting in a very like pragmatic, cynical, violent way. And them being together, that dichotomy is just a lot of fun to watch on screen.
It is. And, you know, it's interesting as you're saying all that, I'm thinking about, you know, well, Lucy's kind of like the perfect citizen, right? And as I dissected that a little bit further, it's really the product of her vault that made her like that. And her she's vault 111, right? I think, or is that the game? Either way, her vault is kind of the best version of the vaults. And we talked about this when we were going through the first season.
Yeah, it's Utopia Vault.
It's Utopia Vault. Every vault is a different experiment. And we're starting to see these vaults in the show now and learning about all these other different vaults that are across the world. Because Vault Tec was a ginormous company, and that's essentially who created the nuclear apocalypse. But her vault is kind of like the best you could get. So it is good that we got that kind of grounding in something familiar when every other vault seems like an absolute hellscape.
Yeah. But also it's just going to be really interesting to watch like Lucy lose her innocence, become more cynical over time, and see how that affects the ghoul, because she's standing next to a guy who, again, is pragmatic to a fault. And so just watching them, I'll say like when they're on screen, I think it's the best version of the show. And I have some negative preconceived notions from the first season of Maximus and his character. I think some that in the third episode, which we'll cover in a bit, is kind of starting to be worked out a little. But at the same time, every time it cuts away from them, I do think the show gets slightly worse just because they're so fun to watch.
They are. The only time that I will argue and say that the show doesn't get worse when they're both not on screen is when they do flashback to Cooper Howard as a normal human.
Yeah.
I love those flashbacks. I love learning more about him and his wife's relationship after he knows what she's doing and knows her vibes on Vault Tec's motive, I guess.
Yeah.
So I do like that. Those scenes I like. But yeah, you're right. Anytime Lucy and the ghoul are not on screen, it is less fun to watch. And I think I mentioned this in the first season when we talked about it. Maximus, he's a fine character. He's fine. But I just, there's just something about the guy who is his actor. I can't put my finger on it, but I don't like him very much.
Yeah, he kind of sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, it doesn't feel believable. I think him being a little bit more aggressive, being a little bit more kind of accepting of a tainted fate is better. It's better. I think it is better.
We should start a band called like Tainted Fate.
Tainted Fate is a sick band.
Tainted right? Fate.
And we're playing covers of Wasteland songs.
Yeah, lovely. Of course.
But yeah, I just think he's... I don't know. I get a weird vibe with him. It's fine. It's passable. Not my favorite character.
But of course the stuff in the past is really fun because it's a mystery. Like that is mystery of the show, where we're getting snippets slowly but surely to figure out why what happened to the Earth did happen, why everything is irradiated. And so it's, you get to uncover it bit by bit, and Walton Goggins is the lead of that part as well. So you then get to see who he was and then who he turned into. So of course that stuff is great.
Yeah. And I love that they keep telling us that, hey, Cooper Howard's been around for 250 years.
Too long.
But he like goes to the Cineplex and he sees a movie with his name still on the billboard. Right. Like I love these little details. And in the game too, you see a lot of these crossovers too, where there's still remnants of the old days gone that are still very clear. And they just really nail the aesthetic in the show so well. And I can't explain how happy it makes me.
Yeah, the fate of those old days gone has been so tainted.
Tainted fate. I love that we do the exact same thing.
Well, that's because that's what you should do. That's what you have to do in that moment. We're also, by the way, getting flashbacks of Robert House and Justin Thoreau playing him in the past. Okay. Adam, person who played game. Robert House, the ultimate bad guy, ?
I mean, yes. So he is definitely a part of the video game lore for sure. I have notes on it. I'm just trying to remember where I put them.
Okay.
Stand by.
No, I will not stand by. While you look at those, I will just say I liked those flashbacks as well. Just a very like mind control robotic things going into the back of people's necks. Like it is just adding snippets of the mystery to the other side of the flashback. It's so like what I'm trying to say is the first time I saw it when he was in the bar and just like trying to get three dudes to fight and kill themselves.
As an experiment.
I did at the beginning be like, is that Justin Thoreau? Right on, The Leftovers. Right on. Love that guy. Also, but okay, a little bit go back to the Ghoul and Lucy for me. But at the end of it, I was like, all right, what's happening here?
Yeah, so he is definitely part of the New Vegas, part of the Fallout universe. I played New Vegas when it first came out. I've never replayed it, so I am quite rusty on like the full details of it. But he is the founder and CEO of Robco Industries. That's pretty much any robot machine or robot kind of roaming the wasteland that weren't the synths. And even then, I think the synths and the Institute are, I don't know if we'll ever get that in this show, but he's a pre-war genius. He predicted the nuclear apocalypse. And he essentially he runs Vegas, and the philosophy is the house always wins, as they say in Vegas. So it's kind of a play on that gambling aspect too. But he was able to predict the Great War. He spent his entire fortune outfitting the casino with laser defense grids. So New Vegas is defended. We know that from the games. We haven't made it there yet, but we're seeing little, kind of glimmers of it.
other things we're getting is Lucy's younger brother is stuck with a little mean Roomba in a room full of cryo freezed mid-management Vault Tech folks. We're also Kevin, Kyle MacLachlan. He finally gets to like an empty office where he is trying to do Robert House's like mind control little things in back of necks, trying to finish that up, talking to a Robert House that may or may not be there through a PA system or a radio system of some kind. And then we also go back to Lucy's original vault, and we do have sort of like a drama there of what's going on with the vault splits with those groups of people. We have one guy in a like an incest based support group, which is weird.
It's so weird.
But it is interesting. Like, we have a, like interstitially a few other scenes that are going on that don't feel bad, which sounds like easy enough, but honestly it's not. It's the fact that this show can just juggle all of these storylines and keep them all relatively interesting. It's not easy, and I want to slow down for a second and say that they're doing a very good job, dude. Like, I'm so glad, because it could be so bad. This really could be terrible. Could be. I mean, Last of Us season two, right, had these moments where you're like, what are we doing here? Like, what's you could have just done what the game was. And this is not that. This is outside of the game and still ripping.
And I think that is why it's so successfully doing this, is because it's taking, again, the world of the game, but no story, direct storyline from the game. These are all new characters. Like, yes, there's a ghoul character. Yes, there's a vault dweller character, but it's completely different stories. And they're weaving in different parts of the games to really give the fan service a lot. I mean, there is so much fan service in this show, if you can't tell. But
I can't tell, really, because the fan service isn't really for me.
No, it's not for you, but they, like, that little robot in the saloon that has the cowboy guy on the screen, like, that's directly from the games. But it's not taking any storyline that we're seeing from the games. Like, there's going to be characters, but it's completely different and new, which is great.
Which is why fan service is reading as world building to me, which doesn't have to be the case.
No, but I kind of like that, because that's exactly how, if you played the games, how you felt exploring the world for the first time. It is so similar. The experience playing these video games was so similar to how I feel watching the show. It's all new. We don't know what's going to happen. I do want to see the things that I'm familiar with in the world, but it's like kind of exploring everything again, which is kind of the heart of these games.
As we enter episode two, entitled The Golden Rule, we're still sort of getting closer to Vegas, but at the same time, the ghoul and Lucy are just sort of walking around the desert and taking things as they come. At some point, they fight big scorpions. All the while, Maximus is doing his little side quest and losing faith in the Brotherhood. And as much as a episode could be filler, I did feel as though the Golden Rule was that.
Yeah, I agree.
But at the same time, because of exactly what we just talked about, it all did still feel like we're building this world up and you're learning new things about these characters that you wouldn't otherwise if they didn't really try to focus on them. So even in this episode that I thought was like, this is the one where I almost bounced off a little bit, but not really. It caught me back there, and I got to the end of the episode, and I'm glad I did, because we would eventually go into a third episode that ripped, dude.
Oh yeah. And so it's interesting, for the first season, the Brotherhood of Steel stuff, the Maximus stuff, I didn't really care a lot about.
That's because he's bad.
Well, yeah, but I started caring more this season because we're now seeing all factions of the Brotherhood get together.
Yes.
And we're also seeing the Commonwealth, which is what Fallout 4 was based off. I think it was either Fallout 3 or Fallout 4. Either way, the Commonwealth was a huge part of that game. And
what's their deal?
So the Commonwealth is essentially Boston, and
they are the
most funded branch of the Brotherhood of Steel. You could say they even kind of show that in the show where remind me that actor's name again that played the Commonwealth brother. Oh my God,
Kumail Nanjiani.
Yes, him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he comes in. He has really nice armor.
Yeah.
He's got a really nice vertebrate, and he's got spare armor, which that is unheard of in some of these other factions.
Yep.
So the Commonwealth very much is what their name says. They are the wealth of the Brotherhood of Steel. They are kind of like the epicenter of it all. So when he comes in after the other factions are essentially forming a revolt, a mutiny against the Commonwealth, or a civil war, that was really interesting to me because I know exactly what the Commonwealth like is because they were a big part of one of the other games as well. And so it is cool to see these characters and stories start to intertwine into the main story.
Before we get to episode 3, I'll just talk a little bit about like the part that was a little odd to me was the scorpion fight.
Yeah, but that's kind of what happens though. You just turn a corner and there's a giant fuck off scorpion.
Yeah, sure.
Like that was so so realistic to how you're playing.
You know what? I'll take it. I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly like that. It wouldn't surprise me if that's their writer's room discussion. Like, what if they go in this place and there's a giant scorpion? Be like, yes, that's exactly what happens in the games.
And then we get to episode 3, which was truly a banger, called The Profligate. The ghoul is roaming around, and Lucy gets caught by the Legion, who has been split into two. Macaulay Culkin's there for some reason. It's sick that he's there. He takes off his helmet. I'm great. Like, is that fucking Macaulay Culkin Home Alone, bitch?
Yeah, he was a great, great addition, and he played that well. That's the Legion, which is another faction you come across, you know, in the Wasteland.
Yeah, and the NCR, both of which are facing each other, but yep. The Legion split into two with two Caesars or whatever they like, whatever version of Caesar they want to have. And the ghoul then plays them against each other, and they all just eventually murder each other, taking the side of the NCR. And NCR, how much in the games?
That's Fallout Vegas. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, New California Republic for sure. That's a big part.
John Grease, by the way, part of the NCR, he's the soldier who, pistol whips the ghoul, you know, and just coming back from them both meeting on White Lotus. So they're on set once again.
Yeah. And as you're talking, I'm looking up the New California Republic and see where they actually first showed up. And they were in the original Fallout game as a minor mention, and they were in Fallout 2. I guess quite predominantly. I don't remember. I don't think I ever played Fallout 2.
Either way, John Grease, both in White Lotus and in Fallout,
yep,
did not try to throw a football over the mountains, and that's disappointing. At the same time, the ghoul is now talking and he's had a dog, and the conversations he has with the dog are really great, especially the one where he's just like, yeah, I don't like Lucy either, but we're gonna need her down the line, so I'm going to sell out the NCR, which he actually doesn't really do, and then get her back, you know, because she's dying on a cross of being in the heat in the desert, and then plays them all against each other. And I really love the part where he is looking down at the end of the episode and being like, I think I did something really stupid. And the really stupid thing he did was like the right thing, kind of ?
Of course.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah. But that's not his motive, man. Like his goal is to find out what happened to his family, uncover Vault Tech, and kind of get his revenge. So anything that steps in his way is not what he wants to do. So yeah, that makes sense for his character for sure.
Yeah, but the character arc here really to follow during the season is how much will his motivations change once we get to the end of the season? Like, will Lucy and her golden rule bullshit change him at all away from Like maybe focus in on the here and now rather than what happened to your family once he figures that out. While at the same time, when he gets there, if he does, will Lucy flip a switch and be on the exact opposite side, you know, completely villainize her father and completely now understand like how to live in a world that isn't the utopia vault. Like that is, I feel like, where we're going with these two characters, which is why it makes them so interesting. All the while, Camille Nanjiani and the Commonwealth about to shoot a bunch of children, a bunch of ghoul children, and Maximus hitting him in the head with a hammer. Like, that's the first time I was like, okay, Maximus, I see you, baby.
And for those fans of the game, I'm sure they noticed that the weapon he used was a sledgehammer with a rocket engine on it, which you can craft. And it's awesome. And you can like swing and it decapitates like,
ooh,
you know, yeah, it's amazing.
It's also basically it's Reinhardt's amazing. Hammer in Overwatch.
Yeah, pretty much Reinhardt's hammer. Yeah, that's true.
So all of that's happening. Plus we're getting flashbacks in the third episode of, you know, the ghoul. But back in the day, he meets Robert House all the while knowing that he's been asked to assassinate Robert House, and also being there for his friend getting an award, his friend talking about him during the war. There's just so much we're learning and don't know and learning over time about Coop that it just, he's just the most interesting character in the game. I mean, the show. I'm maybe the game too. Yeah. Who knows? But he's just a great character.
There is a ghoul, but there is a ghoul, but not this version of the ghoul.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a great version. But I had a question for you because I wanted to see if we aligned on this one.
All right.
The scene where oh my gosh, I don't know, is in show name the sweatshop with the kids, the ghoul kids.
He's that's the actor Johnny Pemberton. He's like a famous TikToker.
That's right, Johnny Pemberton. Thaddeus.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking of. Thaddeus. So what do you think about those scenes, especially we cold opened the final episode in, or was it the final episode or the second
episode? third episode
in that labor shop, essentially, where they're harvesting caps off bottles. What were your vibes on those scenes where he was with the kids?
I adore them. I think.
Do you?
Yeah, I love those scenes. The first one where he's like, his character is just so interesting because he's not mistreating the kids, but he is mistreating the kids.
Yes. Which is, that kind of is a common theme also in this world as well, where, you know, it's kind of a means to an end, but you're not being mean about it.
No, yeah, it's 20-hour work days, but, like, he's being nice. Yeah. And at the same time, he stands in front of the guy with the gun at the end and is just like, why would you shoot the kids? They don't even matter. Like, don't even do it. It's fine. And then when it's he sees that it's Maximus, a guy who he's met in the past, him being like, hey.
What's up, man?
How you been? Like, you know, after he almost just died. I really like these scenes. The vibe is that you don't.
Well, so when I first saw the scene where they're in the factory taking the bottle caps off and he's talking to the kids and he's like the overseer of this sweatshop, it felt weird. I think when we got back to it later on and then the whole Maximus interaction happened and I think it smoothed it out for me. But yeah, I don't know. It hit me kind of awkward at the beginning.
The weird part, I think, especially at the beginning, is that they keep adding shit. And when it gets tied into Maximus's storyline, I'll take anything that's not Maximus centric. So getting Johnny Pemberton and this character back, I think, is really interesting, or at least the most interesting part of the storyline by far, other than the fact that Maximus, by sledgehammering that dude, might have just started a war, which actually, you know, like, ramp that shit up. That sounds cool as fuck.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, that's gonna be. I am very interested to see how this happens. This means that we're likely going to get more folks from the Commonwealth. We might even get some scenes in the Commonwealth, which would be very cool, like a post-apocalyptic Boston. Like, that is the setting of an entire game installment. And it's one of the most revered ones. So yeah, I'm very excited for it for sure.
It's just also interesting, by the way, like Last of Us Boston, Fallout Boston, both in shows simultaneously happening, which is whatever. But also the part that we might just have to look out for is that they keep adding shit, and like we haven't seen Lucy's brother in a bit. We haven't seen Kyle MacLachlan. We haven't really seen the inside of the vaults all that much in the third episode. And so it does feel like they're going to do that thing where episode by episode, they'll have a C plot or a D plot that is rotating. And when that happens, it just ends up being the case where like some C and D plots are better than others. So some will feel like it's dragging the episode down while others will feel like they're being additive. And that's just the way it has to be when you have 8 to 10 storylines that you're rotating through, which is again, like in Game of Thrones, that was fine because it was an ensemble cast. Truly. Like there wasn't really no main character. In Fallout, there is a main character. It's Lucy. Yeah. Lucy's the main character of this show. So like when you're doing plot B, plot C, and plot D, and they're not being tied in immediately, there can be a bit of fatigue there. The reason that the Johnny Pemberton shit worked out is because immediately they were like, we're tacking this on to Maximus's storyline. And my thought when because I'm like a little bit anti-Maximus, was like, oh my God, anything to make this better. Sounds amazing. And I really like this part.
No, I agree. And something that I'm realizing is I'm wondering if all of these storylines is a little intentional in how they're approaching it, because when you're playing this game, there are, I mean, so many, there are probably hundreds of side missions that you can do at any time. And some of them don't forward the story at all. It's just a thing to do.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they know this and are kind of playing to it a little bit, and we'll come back to something down the road and almost shrug it off like, I didn't really have time for that. I got distracted. Because that's exactly how you would have played it.
By the way, and by they, I mean the Hollywood folks, are also about to try to adapt Far Cry into
a TV show.
Like that's a good example of that as well, where like you can do side shit in that game forever and just completely not even pay attention to the main storyline. Like how do you create that but in a TV show? But Fallout, I think, is doing it really, really well. I'm just, you know, like this tiny little tinge of concern where we're following like 8 to 10 main-ish or sub-main-ish characters, and some are just going to be better than others all the while. Sometimes I feel as though I'm going to say this in the future and be like, man, I wish there was more Ghoul and Lucy in this episode.
I know the underlying thought is, man, I wish there was more Ghoul and Lucy, but anytime we go back into the vault, I kind of forget that for a little bit because I like that setting. I like that idea. Anytime we do flashback to Coop as a normal human pre-bomb, I like that a lot. So I think there's a lot of really, there are a lot of main stories that are not Lucy and the Ghoul. And, if we just drop those, I'll be devastated. Dude.
Yeah, I think it's mainly
I hope
like,
we won't, but
it's mainly the Robert House and the Kyle MacLachlan storylines that have to prove themselves out.
Yeah, I think once we get closer to actual New Vegas, Las Vegas, Mr. House will be more predominant in this.
Of course,
there's going to be a lot more for this that we're missing. I mean, there's just so much, there's so much content that these games provide. This really could go anywhere.
Either way, though, overall vibe on the first three episodes is I love this show. Especially, we're coming off of some really good television. We just stopped watching Pluribus, which is, I think, for my money, like in the trailing 12 months, the second or third best show on TV, right behind perhaps Severance, and then The Pitt is in there somewhere as well. And like Fallout is going to fall into a niche here of being a really, really quality television show that I hope keeps going on for really long time. And
it's funny because this was the most nervous I think everyone was when hearing about this show being made. I remember the internet kind of almost not wanting it to happen because they didn't want it to be ruined. It's the same way how I felt with the first season of The Last of Us. I didn't want the source material to be tainted because of this bad rendition, but they absolutely nailed the Fallout universe. They really did. And I'm so happy that they did. And something that I noticed, Ryan, and I need to know, this has been driving me nuts since you said it. We were doing Pluribus, and I watched the first episode of Fallout, and I said, it's pretty good, man. And you said, no, you didn't agree. Why?
Oh, it was the first scene. Lucy, I found to be really, really annoying in the first scene, the first time I watched it. She was just, you know, not shooting down the ghoul. What I actually learned, I think, was that I had just had a not good day, and I was not in a good headspace because I rewatched the first episode and I was like, no, this is fine, actually. This is good.
It's fine. The only complaint I had, and I posted this on our threads, is I don't like that they really leaned into the fact that everyone loved that she said okie dokie. So much so that she, like, it was almost like she had to say it this season, the beginning of this season, and then her dad said it.
She does not need a catchphrase.
I don't like it. I don't like it. That's the only thing I don't like. It's the only critique I really have.
By the way, Fallout already been renewed for season 3. The writing is underway, and they're going to start filming it in spring 2026, which is huge.
Let's go. If we can get Fallout Season 3 before Pluribus Season 2.
Definitely going to happen.
Come on now. Let's go.
I feel as though we're going to get Fallout Season 3 late 2026, which is going to be huge.
Oh, that would be ginormous, dude.
And if you want to keep following Fallout and Pluribus and all the other stuff we did in 2025 going into 2026 with a closer, more magnified lens that you could use, you could do that, get even a bigger lens with a bigger magnifying glass for $1 exactly by joining us on our Patreon, which Adam's about to talk about specifically right now.
Yes, so please join us on our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. Like Ryan said, for $1 or more a month, you can get all this stuff early, ad-free. There's Patreon exclusives, which we recorded about the Critics' Choice Awards today, so that's something the patrons are going to be able to listen to. But we also say your name at the end of each and every episode, so donate and I will read your name. So our current patrons are Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, please Adam, please Adam, please Adam, please Adam, please I Love the HBO Boys, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and it's not egg season anymore. Eggnog season anymore.
It ain't egg season either, baby.
It ain't egg season, dude. Eggs are too expensive, man.
They're too expensive, and I love the HBO Boys.
And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you and all of you who donate money. This is very cool of you. Please also subscribe to our TikTok, our threads, our Instagram at the HBO Boys Pod or the HBO Boys Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, interact with me over on threads. It really is a cool community. Tons of people talking about movies and TV over there. Anytime something releases new, it's just threads and threads and threads of that stuff, theories, what you want to happen, what happened, what you don't like, what you like. It's just a very cool spot. I like talking movies and TVs over there. So get at me over there. It's a cool space.
And oh my gosh. Okay. I opened up an IMDb page of Fallout to look up like what a maybe famous quote I could say at the end of this episode. And there was just a guy doing a really loud sip in a video. And I just thought it was you. I was like, Adam, what are you doing? Just ruining an episode. And then I saw on the screen a guy doing loud sip. Anyway, I didn't find anything because I got distracted by loud sip. I think oddly enough, this has now become the end of the show.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
Anyway, by the way, everybody look at the art, the HBO Boys Fallout art. It's sick as fuck.
It's very cool, and I'm excited to showcase it.
War never changes. The ghoul, the desert has its own golden rule that you can do sidetrack shit. God, I can't find one good quote. Fuck.
Hot dog.
Hot. Okie doke.
No.
Is it okie dokie? Let me take that again. Okie dokie. Did you like that?
No, I hated it.
Okie dokie.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.